think God doesn't care about you? The Lord sees your loneliness. He sees what you go through. And he saw in the first Adam that it wasn't good for him to be alone. So he bought him, made him a companion comparable to himself. Hallelujah. And if we bring that forward to the New Testament, listen, the first Adam was a picture or a type of Christ. Amen. And Eve, if Adam was a picture of Christ, then that would make Eve a picture of the bride of Christ, a picture of the church. Amen. And so if we want to transfer that to the new covenant, you know, Jesus was all alone. There was no one like him in the whole planet. Nope. He was one of a kind. Hallelujah. But, you know, the Father wasn't going to leave him like that. What he did for the first Adam, he would do for the second Adam. And our Heavenly Father would pick out a bride for Christ. Or he'd pick out a people, pick out a companions for them. It tells us in John 5. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read a few verses for us. We read them on the Bible study on Wednesday. And it's verse 37 of chapter 6. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I'll by no means cast out. Amen. Jesus is talking about those that the Father would bring to him. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Verse 65, then he said, therefore, I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it's been granted to him by my Father. Hallelujah. I remember the days when I was just a party dude, kind of like Jeff. And suddenly in my thought pattern came the thoughts of eternal life, came the thoughts of Jesus and Moses. And I was thinking, must have been quite exciting for those guys because they had something real from God. And my thought pattern began to change, and I started thinking about eternal things. I started thinking about Jesus and what I learned in Sunday school. Of course, I didn't tell anyone. But what I didn't know is that the Father was drawing me. Yeah, the Father was drawing me. We did some crazy things in those days, and I wouldn't let anyone know that I was reading the Bible. And when I prayed, I went in the bathroom and locked the door, got down on my knees and prayed. I wasn't going to be an undercover Christian. That didn't work out for me, as you can see. And hallelujah. But I'm glad the Father was drawing me, and he was drawing me to Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw miracles. I saw wonderful things happening, and I kept thinking, what a coincidence. I still didn't get it. I still didn't fully wake up. But it was the Father all the time drawing me to Jesus. Amen. And that's what he does for all of us. That's why we find ourselves in church this Sunday morning on Easter. The Father's drawing you, and he's concerned about your eternity. He wants to give you something. Hallelujah. And like he's given all of us eternal life. Hallelujah. And so Jesus was risen from the dead, and he was one of a kind. And now the Father is drawing people, hallelujah, putting their finger on them and bringing them to Jesus to be saved, because now Jesus is going to have a family of his own. Jesus is going to have a family he can call, hallelujah, his own. And so we're thankful for that. And you know what it says in John 5:25? While we're here, we might as well read that. It said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. It didn't mean he's calling everybody out of the grave. It was those who hear the voice of the Son of God, and Jesus is calling. Jesus has been calling much these days, and that's what Easter's all about. The call of God is going out, and Jesus, hallelujah, we're saying here that everybody who hears my voice, everyone who answers the call, everyone who receives me as Lord and Savior, Hallelujah. I'll grant to them to have a pardon, and I'll bring them into life. Hallelujah. Those who hear my voice. Can you hear his voice today? Ephesians 2:1 tells us that he made us alive who were dead in their sins and trespasses. And if you've been made alive, something that's dead and is made alive has been resurrected, has part in the resurrection. Hallelujah. And you know, Jesus created something that was non-existent before. He opened up a doorway, hallelujah, into life. And in Corinthians, it talks about these two lives, the old that's passing away and the new. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How awesome is that? Hallelujah. You ever notice the old man is perishing? Got a few more wrinkles today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful my wife never complains about my wrinkles. She complains about her own sometimes, but she never complains about mine. And thank you, Lord. And verse 17, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. And so we see this Paul's telling us not to worry too much about the outer man who's perishing. That's the old creation. It's passing away. And everybody has a best before date. I'm past my best before date, you know. And the Lord said he'd give me 70 and 10 years. And now I'm living by grace because I'm 71 years old. And I just want to encourage Judy, who's getting close to that, and and her twin. I don't know how old her twin is. But praise God. It's a good life as long as you can hold up. Amen. And so there's part that's perishing and part that's living. But Jesus says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. And so we're part of this movement, this New Testament and new creation. And when Jesus, when he went to the tomb on the first Easter morning, asked the question, or I'm not Jesus, but the ladies who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning asked the question, who's going to roll the stone away? And it was already rolled away. But it's a question that's been asked through the whole Old Testament. Who's going to roll the offense away? Who's going to roll the barrier between man and God away? Who's going to absorb that? Who's going to take that out of the way? And, of course, Jesus Christ has rolled the stone away, the stone of offense that stood between man and God. And in John 14:2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And his death and resurrection was in preparation and was opening up a door that had been previously sealed shut. And it was the door into eternity. It was the door into a new life. And Jesus died on the cross to qualify us. And it tells us in Hebrews 2:14, hallelujah. And this is some amazing stuff. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. You know what that's saying? It's saying God became part of his own creation. It was like he put on a garment, he put on a cloak, and God became one of us. Amen. God became a man, and hallelujah, and he wrapped himself in flesh. He entered into his own creation because the things that needed fixing, he couldn't fix from the outside. He had to fix from the inside, and there was no one he could trust but himself, so he came himself, wrapped himself in flesh, entered into his own creation. And it says in the last half of this that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus entered the strong man's house. He bound the strong man up. And he divided the spoil amongst us. And you know what the Lord says about you? This is what he says. He said, I give you authority and power over scorpions, over serpents, Hallelujah. And they will by no means harm you. I talk about a reversal of fortune. Talk about a flip-flop around. Jesus entered the strong man's house. And here we read in Ephesians that he had to enter death to conquer it. He was the first man that ever entered into the kingdom of death. He invaded the kingdom of death. And of course, he was the only one who could because he had no sin in his life. And Jesus didn't enter in a victim, you know. He entered in a victor. Hallelujah. And he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And he rose with the keys of Hades and death. He conquered death. He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. And, you know, when sin was conquered, that's how the devil held us, you know, in bondage. In chapter 2:15 of Colossians, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He took their power away, which was our sin. Satan manipulated us through our sin. Amen. Condemned us through our sin. But when you ask for a pardon from Jesus, you come out from under these powers. You swear allegiance to a new group. Amen. To the Jesus group. Hallelujah. And so Jesus conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered the devil. Hallelujah. And so first thing people say to me is, well, if Jesus conquered all those, why is there so much trouble going on in the world? Why is everything so messed up? And because the consummation of this victory hasn't been fully won yet. What do you mean? I mean, Jesus won that victory for us. Hallelujah. But he's gone. His plan is to win the victory again through you. Amen. In other words, he wants to crush Satan's head, and he wants to use your foot to do it in your life. Now, do you understand that? Jesus won the victory for us. Now he wants to win the victory through us. He wants us to be the overcomers. He wants us to triumph over every obstacle that comes against us, over every power of the enemy that would assault herself against us. Hallelujah. He's going to crush that enemy under your feet if you can believe him. He's given you authority. He's given you authority over serpents and scorpions. Amen. And so when I say Jesus came and he created something that was non-existent before, amen. He lifted us from here up to here. Hallelujah. Through his death and through his resurrection. And if anyone's here this morning and you're hearing these things for the first time, the only way to escape the turmoil and struggles and that's coming on this world is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only escape we're going to have and from the trouble that's coming. And though through his death and resurrection, Jesus opened up the door to a new creation. And it's like a new beginning. And to get started or get to the starting line is just a simple prayer of faith, asking Jesus to inviting them into your life and asking them to give you a pardon. That'll get you to the starting line. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, there's a whole lot more people on the starting line than there is at the finish line. But Jesus has paid it all. He opened up a doorway for us. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And he doesn't just leave us at the starting line. Amen. He forgives us. And forgiveness isn't the beginning of this great journey, or it is the beginning of this great journey. It's not the end of it. Hallelujah. And so God has prepared a place for you, and we have to choose ourselves. Am I going to be part of this old creation that's passing away, or am I going to be part of this new creation? Hallelujah, that Jesus has purchased for me, and I can only choose for me. You can only choose for you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask my brother Sunil if he'll come and pray for us. And this is all things you probably have heard before. And you're going to hear them again and again and again. Jesus created something that was non-existent. Hallelujah. An eternal life for us to possess.